My lords, your grace, your eminence, dukes, earls, viscounts, vanguards, Boeing 707s, ladies in waiting, ladies who've given up waiting, honorables, downright dishonorables, granny and the twins, barons titular, barons hereditary, barons court, Hammersmith, South Elins, all stations. Be upstanding and raise your glasses. The toast is the sovereign, with which I would like to couple the half a crown, the rose and crown, the queen's head, king's arm, Duke of Westmoreland's kidneys.
Here, where's all this leading?
Ladies and gentlemen, round the hall!
Oh, nice.
And welcome to the show. Now, I expect you'd like to know the answers to last week's sporting quiz. Now, question one concerned the famous Surrey cricketer Albert Greep. And the answer was 107 by the time he retired. And we understand he got the family allowance on all of them. That's except the first, of course. Now then, question two had two possible answers, yes or no, and either was correct. Most of you got that one right. Question three, the fastest time for 100 metres is held by Olga Goshensky, an employee of the Russian gas board who read the lot in 2 hours. What? What a woman. Subject to confirmation, of course. Now, nothing acts faster or indeed worse than our own cool, satisfying, menthol-fresh Douglas Smith. Forward Smith.
Sir, it's time for the Round the Horn Forum of the Air, in which listeners ring in to air their views.
Oh, yes, here's the first call now. Hello. Oh, hello, Mr. Gunfutter. Good to hear your breath again.
Thank you. I'm trying to get something up, and I'd like you to sign it. I'd like you to sign your name on it.
Well.
Hello?
That depends on what it is.
It's a petition complaining about what the medical profession has done to me. The BMI have dismembered me, Mr. Orne.
Really?
Yes, they refuse to accept me as a member, despite the fact that I'm an MDQ...
Well, an MD is Doctor of Medicine. Yes. What's the Q for?
Waiting for me surgery to open. I usually hold it in my landlady's bathroom.
Well, why is that?
It's cleaner than the coal shed. I find the bathroom is an ideal place to have a practice. Can sit down in comfort and practice the laying on of the hands. Nice. Yes. Usually on the patient's forehead.
Yes,
you see.
I see, yes. A sort of fringe medicine.
Yes.
Tell me, do you charge your patients?
Hey?
Do you charge your patients?
No, not the ladies. I usually sidle up to them. I sells them a bowl of my herbal remedy at the popular price of 6 guineas a bowl.
6 guineas, a popular price?
Well, it's popular with me. Will you sign my petition? All I'm asking you for is a gesture.
I'm giving you one, Mr. Grandfather. Goodbye. Hello, Horn here.
Hello, Mr. Horn. I'm secretary of the Hendon and District Women's Institute. We have just unanimously voted you Woman of the Year.
Well, it's a great honour, but I feel I should point out that I'm not really eligible.
Why not?
Well, if you remember, I was Woman of the Year last year. Ah, dear me, it's all go, isn't it? Yes, all go. Hello.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Look, can you give me your name?
Certainly. Elias Mooseblaster. Can you give me yours?
By all means, Kenneth Horn.
Thank you. Well, goodbye, Mr. Mooseblaster.
Goodbye, Mr. Yes, it happens all the time, doesn't it? And now, via the radio link, an on-the-spot report from Gerald Monk's habit in the Sahara Desert. And once again, I must apologise for the poor quality of the reception.
Hello, this is Gerald Monk's habit speaking to you from the Sahara Desert. A major British company is drilling here for oil, but all they've found so far is and which has very little commercial value. They were optimistic, but earlier today the chief engineer struck solid rock and bent his which makes it impossible for him to carry on. And with that, I return you to the studio.
Thank you, Gerald Monkhaven. And now, with her dinkum blackened by the fierce sun of the Earl's Court Road, we have in the studio Miss Judy Coolibar.
Too right, sport. Keep your distance or I'll swipe you with one of my billy bongs. Today I want to tell you about my new campaign to ban these filthy books. For instance, this one.
Well, let's have a look. The London Telephone Directory.
You may call it that. I call it pornography. They've got men and women side by side on the same page. It's disgusting.
Well, it makes it easier to get in touch.
What do you mean by that?
Nothing at all.
I mean, just look at it.
Pardon?
On page one. How to telephone abroad.
Yes, yes.
And this...
Probably something to do with Norfolk, you know.
Look at this. Instructions on how to look up your friends. And then look at this. There's this fella listed here. Do you think that's his real name, Dunnett? He's just bragging, that's all. Fellas with names like that ought to change them. Wouldn't you agree to that, Mr...
Moose Blaster. Elias Moose Blaster. Oh, a bit of luck there. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Judy Coolibar.
And now, I, Douglas Smith, step into the limelight with an item from my repertoire that has delighted audiences everywhere. Yes, fans, it's Douglas Smith, the golden voice of radio. So stand by for a flood of lyric melody as I burst forth into song. Thank you, Max. For years a fairy queen I've been.
You're going to have to tell us.
For years I foiled the demon king.
Demon drink more like. He's got a nose like a peony, just like a peony's nose.
But alas, I'm getting on.
You must have bribed the producer.
Do you? The years have flown somehow, and I feel that fairy Snowdrop isn't wanted now.
Say that again.
Nobody loves a fairy when she's 40.
40? Round the edges, 40.
Nobody loves a fairy when she's old.
Oh, it's a disgrace letting an announcer sing.
Yes.
When there's talented artists like us waiting and about,
yes,
waiting.
I could have done Drake's drum with gestures.
Yes,
let him get on with it or he'll turn surly.
But it's a disgrace. Yes. I mean, there's Hugh kept hanging about here, wasting his time. He could have been putting his broccoli in.
Yes. Yes, well, I mean, I have this small allotment. Just a few King Edwards and a cold frame. But it's nice to have the fresh veg.
Well, look. The sooner he finishes, the sooner we can get on. Continue, Smith.
I'm not sure the mood hasn't been completely destroyed.
Oh, to get on!
Max, from the chorus, Allegro non troppo, with rallentando in the coda.
Oh. Yeah.
Hello to see.
Nobody loves a fairy when she's 40. Nobody loves a fairy when she's old. She may have still a magic power, but that is not enough. They like their bit of magic from a younger bit of stuff. When you have lost your little fairy dimples and the moth holes in your dress let in the cold, you stand there shouting, "What oh!" But they all pass by your grotto.
I shall say nothing at all.
It's probably the kindest thing to say. No one loves a fairy when she's old.
Well, personally, I'm glad that's over. I must say, Mafeking will be relieved too. And now, and now, movie go wrong, Smith.
Sir, this week's film adaptation is a story of that sinful city of ancient times, the seat of a corrupt empire which wallowed in bacchanalian orgies and sadistic spectacle.
Oh, Bognor.
No, sir, ancient Rome. Pornographic Productions, in association with Pounder Flesh Limited, the friendly loan company, proudly present Continuum Medicum Romanum.
Or keep taking the Roman tablets. I'm a slave in ancient Rome. My name is Frigidius Maximus. The girls call me Frigid Maxi for short. But not for long. A slave's life is hard. I've been flogged more than once, and I'm about to be flogged again.
Here we are, gents. Lot 22, a second-hand British slave in good nick. Hardly a mark on him. Now, I'm not going to ask you 50 denarii. I'm not going to even ask you 25. I tell you what I'll do. I won't bother rabbit him. No mucking about. Here you are, 5 denarii. You want him? Gin over there? Off you go, son.
And he knocked me down to a Roman noble. I sprawled at his feet. All I could see were the rays of the setting sun gleaming on the strap of his sandal. Just a thong at twilight.
Get up, slave.
He tugged me to my feet by pulling at my chain. I flushed.
Need to be shy, slave. Gird up your loins. I can't bear an ungirded loin.
I followed him to his home. His name was Glucosius Tablitus. He was a tribune and hoped to be a new statesman.
Now, slave, you will wait upon me hand and foot and any other part of me that requires waiting upon.
It was a hard life, and I was busy from the moment I sundialed on in the morning until I sundialed off at 5:30. I used to sweep out the stables with another young slave, but later they gave me a broom, which made it easier. And then one day, Glucosius sent for me.
I have been watching you closely, Frigidius, the way your muscles ripple and knot as you peel a grape. Seemingly without effort.
Oh, sir, it's just a knack.
I am going to send you to gladiatorial school. You'll learn there to fight with a broadsword, kill a lion with your bare hands, crush an opponent's skull, and possibly a bit of flower arranging on the side.
First day at St. Hilda's Gladiatorial School.
Right. Now, I rushes at you, knocks you on the ground, and holds this razor-sharp trident at your throat. What do you do?
Yes, well, that's what most of them do to begin with.
But you're not going to get a thumbs up if you do that, are you?
Soon I was ready for my first appearance in the arena.
It's a bright sunny day here at the Coliseum, and any moment now, the games will start. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Mad Marcus for quality used chariots. The finest selection in Rome. Mad Marcus, just opposite the Forum. Getaway people, go to Mad Marcus.
You'll be happy and gay, I'll be happy and way, with a chariot from Mad Marcus.
Go now, remember, Tempus Fugit.
Thank you. Excitement is rising here at the Coliseum, and here comes the Emperor Nero. The crowd is rising, they're genuflecting at him. But he's brushing it off. Beside him is his good lady wife, Popeye.
Popeye.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, Amira, I'm so excited. When do the games start?
Later. We've got to watch this boring lot first. See one gladiator eaten by a lion and you've seen them all. Myself, I'll sooner go home and fiddle.
So would I.
Meanwhile, down in the changing room below the arena, we gladiators were getting ready for combat.
Is this your first fight, son?
Well, yes, it is, but I'm ready. I've whetted the edge of my sword.
Yeah, well, it takes some of us that way.
It was the moment of truth. I strode out into the arena. Suddenly, a fierce lion bounded across the sand.
At this point, it should be mentioned that I, Douglas Smith, play the lion. For the occasion, I'm wearing an old Davy Crockett hat and a set of Granny's teeth.
Well done, Smith. Off we go.
Very well, sir. Roar, roar, snarl, slaver.
Get back, Smith. Take that.
Roar.
And that.
Growl.
And that. No, wait a minute. I'll keep that one for myself. You could have this one.
Wait, sir, wait. Don't you remember me? When you were a little boy, a lion cub removed a thorn from your foot. It was me, sir.
A likely story. Take that!
He fights bravely, this slave. I must have him for my guard. What do you want for him, Glucosius? Quick change of voice.
What do you offer, O noble emperor?
Back again. No, stop messing about. Do you a swap? My set of cigarette cards of famous Vestal Virgins and my Elgin marbles. How's that?
And so I changed to Praetorian guards. The Emperor was a nervous man and would allow no weapons in his presence. So day and night, I stood at his side with a drawn cucumber. Himself as a poet and musician.
Yeah, listen to this. No, come on, listen.
All right.
There was a mighty Amazon who fought an alligator. She gave a sob inside his gob and he was gladiator. What do you think?
Well,
Now, go on. Say you like it. Go on. No,
well,
I wrote it while I was sitting on the Senate.
Wonderful, Nero. Superb poetry.
I shall set it to music. Fetch me a lyre.
One here already, that's me.
I'd like to hear another one.
Well, if you like.
Come on, here. When Julius had the emperor's job, he met a maid from Pisa. What shall I do, he asked the mob. And the people all cried...
Caesar!
Yes, that's right.
Caesar! I have news of Greece. They've run out of it in the kitchen. You'll have to have boiled potatoes instead.
Oh, it's a disgrace. I'm throwing a special civic orgy tonight, and somebody's nicked that grease. All this city's full of corruption. No, I'll get livid. I burn while Rome fiddles.
That night's orgy was a splendid affair. Wine flowed like water. The fountains gushed with milk stout. Scantily clad maidens performed wild, sinuous dances. It was all I could do to keep my cucumber steady. Suddenly, I heard a voice in my ear.
Hist!
I haven't touched a drop.
Frigidius, it is I, Poppaea. Tonight was made for love.
But I am Nero's guard, madam. Love is a word that's forbidden to me.
Oh, very well. Tonight was made for politics. Come with me.
So I went. All that night I politicked her. After all, when in Rome... Yes. Eventually, the gentle, questing fingers of a new day spun their rosy magic across the sky.
Nice.
No, but it can't be dawn. It's only X to IV. Look out of the window. Rome is ablaze.
Yes, I, Nero, did it, because I wanted to fiddle while Rome burned. Here I go, then.
Grab your partner, spin her round. Rome is burning to the ground. Tuck up your toga and strum on your lyre. I've set the flaming place on fire. My popularity's down to zero, but after this, I'll be a Nero.
Do it in the Appian way. Oi!
And so this week's production comes to an end, or at least stops. And now a complete change of mood from the sober and thoughtful to the downright depressing. Yes, it's your own, your very own, rambling Sid Rumpel.
Oh, hello, with you. Nice to be back.
Now, what surprise have you for us in your gander bag this week?
Well, 'tis a 17th century ditty that tells of an apprentice loomer whose love goes awry in a cornfield, and he feels it's going against the grain. So he sings off his brief romance in a manner both reflective and lugubrious.
Oh, really?
Yes, it goes after this fashion, gaily, but with a hint of verdigris. Down yonder green valley I first met sweet Sally. When twilight was falling, we both held our tryst. Mid groves that were gloomy, she vowed her love to me. But it was so light there, we had to play whist. Amid the bright barley, we stopped for a parley. While oot owls were calling, we plighted our grunge. Above us the star shone, my grommets got caught on a rambling rosebush and nadgered my man. Now with sorrow, deep sorrow, my wogglers are laden. For Sally's departed, she married for wealth. Although I still wander in yonder green valley, it's not so much fun when you wordle yourself.
Thank you, rambling Sid. I think you moved all our moolies with that. Well, now, just lately I've been thinking about holidays, and I spotted an advertisement in my copy of the Corslet and Cummerbund Enquirer, which I buy for the I Spy section. Anyway, the advert read, Parlez-vous français? The Bonner School of Languages will teach you all you need to know. So, next morning I went round to their address in Chelsea. Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, je suis Julien, c'est homme ici et mon ami Sam.
Oh, hello, Mr. Oh, nice. Oh, bonjour, Françoise, and souvez la piste. How bona, thank you.
Yes, so you're a French teacher.
Mm. Oh, oui, oui.
Oui. Our motto, you're never alone on a foreign strand with a language taught by Jules and Sam. Nice.
Now, how can we help you, visage de coeur?
That's French for art face.
Now, for a start, I'd like to brush up my Greek.
Well, don't let us stop you if it gives you any pleasure.
The Greek language.
Oh,
well. Mm. We're not too hot on the Greek.
Not too hot.
We, no. To be honest, we don't know our alpha from our omega. All he knows is shish kebab, and all I know is the Acropolis.
By moonlight.
I.
Yes, he had an experience up the Acropolis. Didn't you, Jewel? Go on, Jewel.
I'd rather not speak of it.
I'm not surprised. He could tell you things, Mr. Owen, that make Lawrence Darrell sound like Patience Strong.
Are you by any chance referring to Lawrence Darrell's Tunk?
I never repeat gossip.
Tunk is the title of Lawrence Darrell's latest novel. It's not a vulgar slang expression. I just put that in case the Director General was listening. Now, where were we?
At the Acropolis.
frankly, we're not dab hands at your Greek.
Well, what do you specialise in?
Well, we concentrate more on the modern languages, French, Italian, Spanish. Then, of course, we do your various Chinese dialects, Cantonese, Cochinese, Pekingese.
Pekingese? How does that sound?
Would you believe Wolf Wolf?
And then, of course, we specialise in English for your actual foreign visitor.
Yes, we're working on an old Sikh now.
Yes, Ram Singh. Yeah. Ram Singh. Now, this is interesting, Mr. He didn't speak a word when
not
he came to us, now, did he,
not
Jewel?
Not a word.
But you should hear him now. Fetch him out the cubicle, Jewel. Go on, fetch him out. Introduce him to Mr. Orne.
Mr. Ram Singh.
Ram Singh.
Come and meet a friend.
Come on, dear. Come here, dear. This is Mr. Orne.
Well, how'd you do?
Hello, Mr. Horndacky. How bona de vada, you dolly old eek.
Yes, very good. He's got all the palari, hasn't he?
He's a sort of jewel of the Orient.
Oh! Old, isn't he? All right, Mr. Ram Singh, back to the cubicle, ducky.
Cubicle?
Yes, yes, that's our method. Soundproof cubicle and headphone. We call it Polari phone.
Polari phone. Now, the jewel has devoted his life to perfecting that method, haven't you, Jewel?
Yes, I have.
Tell him how you started.
I have.
Tell him how you started.
Well, on the method?
Yes, go on.
I don't like. Well, I find I'm nervous with strangers.
Ooh. Well, I'm not strange.
Oh, get him! Now, go on, Jewel. Tell him how it all started. Tell him.
Well, I had this friend.
Friend?
Yeah. In the Merchant Navy. And every time he came into port, he brought me something.
Bought him something?
Yes.
Every time he came into port?
Yes. Like a ukulele or a ship in a bottle.
He was generosity itself, that boy. Yes, lovely. Yes. Jock, wasn't it? Jock.
Friend of Gordon.
Friend of Gordon. Gordon introduced, used to make these ships in bottles himself, didn't he,
Jewel?
Yes,
all by himself.
Oh, you'd be amazed what Jock could do with a bit of wood in a bottle.
That's one of his on the mantelpiece.
On the mantelpiece.
Yeah, well, I can see that. I can see the bottle, but there's nothing in it.
No, it's the Marie Celeste. So when he rode up, one leave he brought me a parrot.
And this parrot could speak 17 languages.
Sort of polyglot.
Yeah. I thought if a dumb beast could do it, so could I.
And that's how it started. And today, Jewel can say, Polly wants a cracker in every language in the world.
Yes, every language in the world. So we started this school up.
Well, what a fascinating story, he said, lying in his teeth.
So what language would you like to learn, Mr. Orne?
Well, I think perhaps Spanish.
Oh, fabulosa. Yes, all right. Well, we start you off with lesson one. Yeah, thank you. Yes. Now, here's a list of Spanish phrases and what they mean in English. You learn these for the start.
Yes, they're useful phrases, like for the traveller.
I see. Right. Now, what's this? Good morning, good afternoon, good night, hello, I cannot speak Spanish. Please write it down. I am lost. This man is pestering me. Catch a policeman. I have lost my handbag. I've lost my handbag? I thought you said these were useful phrases for the traveller. Now, what use is that to me?
Well, when we was in Spain, we found it very useful.
Well, anyway, I took that course and within a week I was fluent. And when I arrived in Spain, the very first night I went to a bodega and within a few minutes I was chatting fluently with a señorita. I don't know exactly what I said, but I spent the second night in the local jail. Cheerio. See you next week.
That was Round the Horn, starring Kenneth Horne, with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick and Betty Marsden. On the musical side, you had the Max Harris Group, and the script was by Barry Took, Johnny Mortimer and Brian Cook. The programme was produced by John Simmons.